Welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Az from FPL Black Box.
And I'm Oscar, FPL Focal.
Oscar, game week 29 is done. What a week. A record number of free hits played with over 1.7 million FPL managers playing the chip. All of the top 10 most transferred in players blanked. And it was the lowest scoring game week average of the season, maybe even ever. How was it for you? How did you get on?
As I don't know where to start. I mean, for me, it's always exciting, you know, when the deadline passes and you've got a chip active. And then, as you say, it was the most free hits ever in a game week. But yeah, we didn't have much to show for it, did we? I activated mine and I ended up with 19 points, which I think is the worst score I've ever got. But yeah, it was a green arrow. And I've honestly never seen anything like it. You know, blanks from Son, Madison, Tony, Bowen, Watkins and so on. How did you get on?
24 points, which feels like massive. I know, absolutely huge. Not my lowest score of the season, because obviously I had that 11-point game week back yeah. a few months ago. It was one of those weeks, though, wasn't it, where kind of everyone's in the same boat. I mean, I just said, you know, the top 10 most transferred in players blanked. There are very, very few good scores. There were some players that came in. We're going to talk a bit about Wood and Gibbs White and obviously Muniz as well. If you had those players, you probably had a decent week, but free hitters in particular went hard on teams like Brentford, like Spurs, and the FPL gods thought to punish us quite severely.
Yeah, I mean, if you said to me before the game, Mick, you'll finish on 19, I'd be thinking, that's going to be a monumental red arrow. But yeah, as you say, like, we're all in the same boat, and it is all relative to other managers. So yeah, if you had a bad game, Mick, don't beat yourself up too much about it.
No, absolutely. I mean, who did you go for on the free hit in the end?
I mean, it was fairly template, but I did have Flecken in goal, of course. I had Porro. Toffolo was my nice differential over Reguilon. So,
so close.
But you know what? I'll take that. You know, that's still 4 points over Reguilon. Doughty, Son, Madison, Elanga, Bowen, Kudus, Tony and Watkins. So not a single return for me. So it does feel like a chip wasted. But I am in a, you know, pure delusion. I've convinced myself that the other benefit of the free hit is obviously you can have the players that you actually want in the game mix that come before and after you activate it. So I'll be coming back to a nice team in game week 30 after the break.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you haven't free hit it, then you've obviously got players like Reguilon who have blanked, and players like Tony who you've got, you know, decisions to make with them. Also, I would have taken a lot of hit. If I hadn't played the free hit chip, I would have taken hits. I could have been on a minus 8, a minus 12, a minus 12 for like Tony, Madison, you know, yeah. Bowen, and they all blank. I can't really remember a week like it, because normally on a free hit, you get one or two, you know, picks come in, and, you know, these were good players, you know, players that have done well for us kind of all season, you know, the likes of Bowen, who I mentioned.
Yeah.
Good, solid FPL picks that just picked the worst week to all blank in the same time. I was similar to you. I had one return, one assist in my entire 11, and that came from Vitinho of Burnley. So I think that says quite a lot about this week.
A lot of points dodging. I mean, the average score was 12, which kind of epitomises the game week. But yeah, fair play with the Vitinho pick, by the way. I mean, should we start digging into the fixtures and just kind of talk about what's happened?
Yeah, if we could just do 40 minutes on Vitinha, then I'd be quite happy with that. I mean, you know, Burnley Brentford was always going to be an interesting game, wasn't it? Because it was a big game for both clubs. Mm. I think we were kind of all leaning towards Brentford to get the points in this one. Tony'd been a bit off form though, and Burnley had been playing quite well without really getting the returns. And yeah, in the end, early red card for probably the worst. I mean, him or Tony, wouldn't it? They were the two most highly owned players in this game. When I saw Reguilon red card, I honestly, I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, I was happy because I didn't have him. But on the other hand, I was thinking this is going to be an uphill battle for the rest of the game now as a Tony owner. Four or five blanks in a row for Tony now. Some people obviously went for Visser instead. He'd scored for the last three in a row, but of course, nothing for him either. And Bruun Larsen, by the way, obviously scored the penalty. He got 1.68 expected goal involvement, which was the highest of game week 29. And he's owned by a grand total of 0.0% of managers.
Wow. It's one of those weeks where if you were brave and you went, you know, like, it's a kind of a thing with a free hit, isn't it? It's what do you do with the free hit? I mean, this week, I thought I would go with the main tried and tested players that have been doing well kind of for the season. and then try and sprinkle in a few kind of differentials to try and, you know, like an Elanga here and a Vitinho and those. But really, if you went hard on the underdogs in some of these matches, if you went for Burnley, if you went for Fulham, for example, then you were kind of laughing. Do you think that's going to change your free hit strategy at all in future seasons? Do you think you might be more tempted to go for, you know, the kind of differential picks, or do you think it's just a free game week and we should just move on?
Yeah, I mean, when I play the free hit, I tend to go for the fairly obvious picks, but I do like to chuck in a differential or two, because that's the beauty of the free hit. As we say, you have this opportunity to take some 1 week punts because it is just a 1 week play. So for me, that was Toffolo. I had Elanga as well, but other than that, it was the team largely picked itself. Kudus perhaps not in as many teams, but yeah, for me, I just chuck in one or two differentials. Is that how you play as well with the likes of Vitinho?
Yeah, I think so. I want to have a few players I kind of get excited about. And I mean, I think Bruun Larsson would have been one step too far. We know he's going to be on penalties, did we, for Burnley? I thought Fofana might take them, you know, because I think Rodriguez is normally the player who does, but obviously he hasn't really been kind of in the team. So yeah, I thought it might be Fofana. And I think Fofana was kind of a fun punt this week. And yeah, fair play if you went for him. Don't forget though, he can't play in the game next game against Chelsea because he's ineligible because he's on loan. So if you looked at Fofana in the last couple of games and thought he's looking really strong, then yeah, maybe hold out for another week. Yeah.
But I mean, that summarizes it. There's so many low scoring players this week. You know, the team of the week got 99, which is the lowest of the season, and the average
99.
Cost, yeah, it's the first time all season that has not hit 100. Yeah, the average player cost for each player on team of the week is 4.6 mil.
Wow.
I mean, Castagna and Robinson, Burke is 4 mil. I obviously a lot of people went Reguilon instead. So yeah, incredibly unpredictable week. Difficult to nail any of the players that did well.
I found it very hard this season to know when to go against the popular picks and when to back them in a way. It feels like whenever I go against them, I get punished, and they, you know, the commonly you know, the common players who score all the points carry on returning. And whenever I don't, I feel like I've missed out. I mean, Vitinho was interesting because he I'd noticed that he was playing on the wing,
right,
rather than defence. And he was a company favourite from back in the Championship. And interesting, Muric came in again for Trafford as well.
Oh, cause okay.
Company's taken a bit of criticism because he's not been really playing the people who did so well for them in the Championship last season. So he's kind of starting to maybe revert back to some of the players that did quite well for him back then. I mean, more penalty areas touches than Tony with 9. Only Bruun Larsson had more than Vitinho in that match. Obviously got the assist as well. But are we going to be picking Burnley players? They're starting to kind of, you know, get ahead, but I don't know. The fixtures are quite tough, and no more double game weeks.
And I suppose that must be quite rewarding that you've actually done some research there, and you've landed on Vitinho as an out of position player, right?
Yeah.
He's a defender in FPL, played in midfield, and he's got a return. That, I mean, that's quite rewarding, surely, especially as you're only returning your team.
I was getting quite a lot of, I know, I was getting quite a lot of like nice messages about it. Honestly, it was lucky he's got a hat trick. You know, when he got the assist, I was getting DMs from people saying, oh, amazing pick, Az, well done. I was like, he only got 5 points. He was on for 10 at one point. Oh, that was nice.
Imagine.
But
yeah,
obviously
that would have been huge. I've got a question about Tony, actually, because obviously a lot of people brought him in this week. After the international break, they've got Man United home, Brighton home, Villa away, Sheffield United home, Luton away. It's not too bad. Man United, perhaps a tough game. If you had made that move, perhaps you sold Solanke, would you be looking to reverse that transfer straight away now? Because, of course, Bournemouth have got nice fixtures as well. They've got Everton and Palace home, then Luton away. Three green fixtures.
It's really tough to know what to do with Tony because, like you mentioned, the fixtures arguably are the best from now until the end of the season, but they are in a bit of a crisis at the moment. They haven't won since they played Wolves in game week 24, the one that came 2-0, and it's just kind of a sea of losses. They've lost their two centre-backs. Mbeumo's coming back, which could be massive. That could really help the prospects of Tony. And I think that's going to be enough to kind of see them move away from the relegation battles, that combined with the fixtures. So I think he's probably a hold for me if you've got him. I mean, I'm potentially wildcarding this week, which we'll talk a little bit about at the end of the podcast. I don't think Tony would be in my thinking for that.
No,
but I think if I had him, I'd hold. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd be tempted to reverse the transfer. Honestly, I mean, it's a better fixture. Game week 30. I mean, game week 31, it's about the same. Game week 32, Tony's away to Villa, and Solanke's got Luton. And of course, there's the potential double game week 34 that's being predicted for Bournemouth. So I'd be very tempted to get him. I mean, I'm guessing on a wild card, you'd have Solanke with that in mind, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so. That's one of the reasons actually why I'm thinking of... I was all set to play the chip, and then the Bournemouth, you know, potential double coming quite soon. Has made me think, actually, I've already got a couple of Bournemouth players. You know, I've got Neto in goal. I've got Kerkez, who's a complete disaster, and let's not talk about that. But I've got Solanke up top as well. So, you know, if I'm wildcarding out these players to try and, you know, tap into, you know, Liverpool's fixtures, Newcastle's fixtures, I might suddenly want them back in a few weeks. I'm still a little bit undecided about what I do. I think Tony is quite far down the pecking list in terms of which ones I'd buy, but... Mm. If you haven't got any other issues, then fine. I mean, what is Tony's motivation, do you reckon, between now and the end of the season? I mean, it's, you know, he's come back into the team. He started really strongly when he first got back. And I'm really surprised that it's now been six. I think one goal in six games for him. He did an interview where he said he wanted to, you know, score loads of goals. He wanted to make sure Brentford climbed up the league. He joked about like getting a move to Real Madrid at the end of the season as well. He can't really just not score between now and the end of the season, couldn't he? If he wants to,
I'm sure
make
he'll
get
form again. Yeah, he's that sort of player. He'll pop up with a hat trick at some point. Mm. It could be that Sheffield United home fixture in a few weeks. In terms of what he's playing for, I suppose a transfer away from Brentford. It's been rumoured a lot, so I think there must be something in that. And I suppose you could argue a spot in the England squad as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I felt a bit bad for Solanke not getting the call up. Tony did get the call up because Solanke's obviously having an unbelievable season so far. So perhaps that's at stake as well.
So you're a sell, I'm a hold, but
yeah,
with a mind to sell fairly soon, I think.
The other player I think that's a bit under the radar is Isak. Obviously, he's got West Ham home, Everton home after the break. So you're looking for a nice differential. Here's the other one you could look at.
Yeah, I think, well, that's the thing. I think if I wildcarded this week, it's Solanke, it's Isak, it's Darwin Nunez as well, you know, with Brighton at home, and then into Sheffield United as well, two really nice fixtures there. Obviously, you've got Muniz, Haaland. There is a lot of good forwards at the moment, and that's actually showcased this week. You know, players like Antonio, you know, coming in, Muniz. It really was the kind of the free hit for the strikers. A lot of the strikers did quite well, whereas others didn't. So... Yeah, unfortunately, I think that means Tony is not the best option. Mm. But yeah, penalty set pieces could still get something.
I wanted to talk about Muniz actually, because you mentioned him there, and he's absolutely flying right now. So maybe we should talk about the Fulham v Spurs game.
Yeah.
Because Muniz is someone I'm really looking at because I don't have Salah at the moment, and I really want him back in my team. They've got Brighton after the break at home, and then they've got Sheffield United at home. So I'm looking at Muniz as a potential enabler. So, do you want to talk about Fulham v Spurs?
Yeah, I mean, what a result for Fulham. And I, as a Brighton fan, I've been on the other end of this. You know, I've been on a 3-0 hammering to Fulham when we played them. They're a funny side. You never really know what you're going to get. They lost to Wolves a week ago when they had, you know, no striker, and I thought maybe that was a game they could do quite well in. They had Paulinho out, and they beat Man United at Old Trafford, which was a big result. They've beaten teams like Arsenal, your team, you know, in previous weeks.
Yeah.
But Spurs had scored in 39 consecutive matches going into that match. You know, I definitely thought they would score at least one goal in that. I think what we didn't realise though was just how good Fulham's home record has been recently. Eight wins, one draw and one loss in their last 10. So, yeah, I guess the question is, do we need to start giving them more credit when they're playing at home?
Oh, definitely. I mean, they racked up 2.76 expected goals, which was second top of the game week. Yeah, completely outclassed Postecoglou, which very few have managed to do. 12 chances created against Spurs. Spurs did create 13 chances themselves, but yeah, it just wasn't happening. Very wasteful.
Oh, that miss from Werner and Johnson as well.
Yeah. I mean, Spurs are the only team not to score for the game week. So, of course, therefore, Fulham, the only team that kept a clean sheet as well, despite having the worst clean sheet odds of all the teams.
Wow.
Which, again, just, you know, summarises what an unpredictable week it was. 2.41 expected goals for Spurs. So, yeah, very wasteful. But that said, I mean, they've got to be an easy hold with Luton next after the break, right?
Yeah, I mean, easy hold and also a team for investment, I think, going into that game. You know, for my team, for example, I've just got Son. And I mean, I know obviously Spurs have failed to score, but I look at Luton and think, with the injuries they've got, with the amount of goals they're conceding, you know, this is a potential Son captaincy. This is a potential double up with a Maddison. I'd like to get one of the fullbacks in, a Porro or a Doggy. You know, I think, you know, this week with Arsenal and Man City playing each other after the break.
Exactly.
I think we're looking at Liverpool against Brighton, and we're looking at Spurs against Luton.
Yeah.
So just a blip, I think their assets are fine.
I mean, I took a hit for Son a couple of weeks ago. With next game we can mind, you know, Arsenal City against one another. I just know next week I'm going to be thinking I don't really want to captain Haaland against Arsenal, certainly not Saka. So yeah, Luton with so many players out. I mean, Lockyer, Bell, Nakamba, Adebayo, Lokonga, Osho, Anderson. I mean, Doughty went off. We'll talk about Luton in a minute, obviously. But yeah, I'm looking at that fixture and thinking definitely holding my Spurs assets. But yeah, Munez, I mean, top scorer of game week 29 with a brace. I've got a crazy stat here. Over the last six game weeks, Munez has got 49 points, which ranks joint second among all players with Saka. And only Havertz has got more, with 50 points. So he's got one more than that, which is crazy because he's 4.6 mil. Seven goals, one assist this season. So is he someone in your thinking, especially if you wildcard?
The only thing more absurd about that is Havertz being top with 50.
That's true, yeah. That went under the radar.
Don't think many would have expected that. Yeah, he's unbelievable. And I think, you know, if you are wildcarding this week, it's a no-brainer surely to include him. I mean, it's Sheffield United next as well, like you've said. And it's Sheffield United away. They're conceding all their goals at home, it feels like. He picked up a bit of a knock, but I think he's going to be fine to play in that match. He's got the international break as well to kind of recover. I mean, he's someone. Fulham are a tricky one because obviously they haven't got the double game week like to come, but they've got really, really good fixtures, similar to Brentford, like teams where you can target their players, particularly at home as well, and be expected to do quite well. So for me, I haven't got the bench boost to play. So, you know, if people are looking to load up their squads with teams with double game week players, I haven't got to worry about that. So for me, Munez is just the best value it could be. And I'd probably see him in some kind of rotation with a fifth mid as well. You know, maybe a Gordon or a Douglas Luiz or someone along those lines, and just try and target the fixture and inevitably get it wrong each week when Munez bags a brace away at whoever and my player doesn't. But he's got to be a factor, isn't he? We've got to be thinking about bringing him in.
Yeah, I'm looking at game week 31 because that's when Aston Villa have got City away. So that could be a nice time to swap Watkins to Munez, which obviously frees up loads of money that I could use to change one of my midfielders to Salah. And yeah, I can see a lot of people shifting towards 3-5-2. Because, of course, we're looking to add Salah and lots of us want to keep Son, Saka, obviously Palmer. And then there's other players that are doing well, like Gordon and so on. So, yeah, that's, I think where my team's headed. 3-4-3's done fairly well for me, but I think a tactical shift's needed. So I'm looking at 3-5-2 from game week 31.
He's the Cameron Archer that we all wanted at the start of the season. But
yeah, it's funny how it plays out like that, isn't it? I mean, everyone had Archer. And in the end, we have Semenyo, who's done excellent as well.
Yeah.
Obviously blanked in 29. And now Munez. And yeah, Fulham, of course, they signed Broya on loan from Chelsea, didn't they? And
wasn't even in the squad. Wasn't even in the squad in the game. But no.
Perhaps that's, you know, contributed to that form. You know, when you've got competition, it lights a fire on you to kind of just be careful. Your place isn't secure in the team.
Yeah.
So perhaps that's been a factor in how well Munez is doing.
Yeah, and I mean, Jimenez as well. Jimenez was playing really well before he got the injury, and then Munez came in, and now it's hard to see how Fulham can drop Munez, even though Jimenez has got the experience and has been playing well. You know, they're probably going to have to find a way to get both of them in the side. So there are a few question marks around that. And I mean, with Broya as well, I mean, he's obviously been brought in on loan, you know, with the intention that he'd play because he was getting some minutes at Chelsea. So I don't think they're going to be particularly happy if he goes and doesn't play another minute between now and the end of the season. But that's for Silva to kind of juggle that around. I mean, the question with Munez is how do you fit him in, like you say? Because, you know, if you've got Solanke, if you've got Watkins, and if you've got Haaland, for example, it's hard to break up that three at the moment.
Yeah.
And like I mentioned, you've got Nunez, you've got Isak, as well. And if Muniz is just going to be that kind of bench option that you bring in every now and then, maybe that's the reason why you don't go for him. But if you're five in midfield, easy pick.
I think it's going to have to be Watkins. I mean, Solanke I'll definitely keep. Haaland, you know, obviously he keeps. So, yeah, as crazy as it sounds, like Watkins is the top scoring player in the game. He is someone I think I'll probably sell in game week 31.
Mm.
It just comes down to X player versus Y player. Like, I don't doubt Watkins will carry on doing well, but I'd back Salah to do even better. And Salah, of course, could double in game week 34. Aston Villa can't. So, yeah, it's just that's how it plays out for me. So, yeah, I'm looking at doing the Watkins to Muniz move, and then I've still got Huang in my team. He's obviously injured, so it's kind of an easy move for me. I'd be Huang to Salah and Watkins down to Muniz. Yeah. So that's quite a nice combination move there.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about kind of doing these games in kind of the wrong order, but I want to talk about Watkins, because that's a decision for me on the wild card as well, whether I wild card in 30 or 31. We went into the West Ham Villa game with a bit of uncertainty around whether Watkins would start. I don't know about you, but I had some bench points. I had 9 from Wood first on my bench.
No.
So I was hoping that he was out with a very not serious injury, just enough to keep him out of 1 week.
One day injury, yeah.
Yeah, one day injury, but yeah, he played. And yeah, I've sold Watkins before a flag before this season, and he got a brace.
Oh. Yeah.
Hadn't sold him before this flag, and obviously he only got the 2 points. Actually, I have 0.09, really, really low for him. Kind of not really in the game too much. Villa struggled, you know, without McGinn, I think, in midfield as well, obviously coming off the back of Europe, but then West Ham had that as well. But really, West Ham were unlucky not to win that. 2.02 XG compared to 0.66 for Villa. Yeah, I mean, Villa are a very good side and Watkins is a very good player, but I'm also thinking of selling, and I'm kind of glad you've said you're thinking the same, because I thought maybe I was going a bit mad.
That's the difficulty of wildcarding now, because you're selling him and he's still got an all right fixture as opposed to the wildcard 31. Yeah, maybe a couple of things are at play here. Obviously, McGinn's a massive miss. No Kamara, they've had him out for a while, but obviously they both played on Thursday night as well, so perhaps they're feeling a bit leggy. A bit tired from that as well.
Mm.
Yeah, 1-1 in the end. And I mean, goals once again from pretty unlikely sources. Antonio got the goal, Soufal assist. And if you'd asked me which Villa midfielders to pick, Zaniolo would have been right down there on my list. I'd rather have Bailey, Douglas Luiz, those guys. But yeah, Zaniolo goal. So yeah, very unpredictable game week. Bowen blanking, of course. Yeah.
Oh, he had the assist for a bit, didn't he? And then VAR chalked it off, which was, I saw that and I thought, hey, at least I've got kind of, you know, one extra return. And then it wasn't to be. I mean, it's interesting with Villa, because, you know, they had the big loss against Spurs, and then they've drawn this game. They're a bit lucky that Spurs lost against Fulham. It's just 3 points between them now in this kind of battle for the top four. It's quite a tricky run for Villa between now and the end of the season. They've got Man City away, Arsenal away. They play Chelsea at home, Liverpool at home as well. So they're playing some good sides there. Brighton away as well. That won't be easy for them. So I'm looking at, like you said, I'm looking at Watkins and thinking, is there someone different that I can just you know, tweak? I mean, 56% ownership with him as well. It is scary though, not having him.
Yeah. But if it comes off, you know, that's a quick leg up the rankings, you know.
Yeah. What's your rank at the moment?
I am 79K at the moment.
Yeah. Okay. How much are you looking to push? Like, how much are you looking to push that into the top 10,000?
I think I'm about 50 points off top 10K. So I'd need to have a really, really good run to hit that. So I think realistic expectations, top 50K, top 25K.
Yeah,
we'll see. I've still got the wild card, still got the bench boost. So, just need to get it right for those doubles in 37 and 34 to come still. But yeah, if I was wildcard in 31, I definitely wouldn't have Watkins. And I think that's an opportunity.
And what if you're wildcarding in 30?
That's a really tough
Wolves
one.
Wolves at home. Yeah,
that's difficult. I'm not sure if I would, you know, because you're only going to want to sell or bench him in 31, aren't you? So I think I'd have Solanke, Haaland and Muniz. Or if you really want to chase the upside, then Isak instead of Solanke.
Yeah.
Newcastle have got such nice fixtures to come still, plus the potential double in game week 34. So I think Isak's a good shout as well because Wilson's injured long term, of course.
Yeah, I don't think there's a place for Watkins on a wild card when I play it, whether I play it this week or the week after. Because Brentford in 32 obviously looks really nice home game against them, but that is sandwiched in between the Man City away and Arsenal away. And I know they had this earlier in the season, didn't they, where they played both of them back to back and won both of those games 1-0, but it's not going to be huge returns in that. And I mentioned Darwin earlier. Darwin's got Sheffield United in 31, like, for example. Muniz has got Sheffield United in game week 30. Now, Isak has got West Ham at home, like in 30. These are similar fixtures.
Exactly.
Better fixtures than Watkins.
Exactly that. It's like, I don't expect Watkins to do badly for the rest of the season. I'm still sure he'll still get lots of returns, but I think you can back other players to do better that are lower owned as well. So yeah, that's the opportunities. Yeah. Big decisions on the wildcard this week though, yeah.
I know. I feel like I chickened out a bit because I was going to wildcards like straight away, you know, as soon as the team refreshes and you want to set your team up for the next game week. And I didn't do it. And then Foden dropped and Muniz went up. And I don't know about, like, I'm just not sure what I want to do. So it's hard to commit to something when you're not fully sure. And obviously I think I want to wait to see where the fixtures fall in for 34 potentially and see. But I still think I probably am going to do it this week. Because you know, I can get rid of Foden, I can get rid of Watkins, and try and hit some of the other big scores. Because I think the fixture swings from 30 and 31 do look really nice. We've talked about Villa. What about West Ham? They've been sort of picking up points lately. Big win for them in Europe as well. It was a blank for Bowen, but obviously he's one of the top scoring players kind of in the game. 14 goals for him this season. What do you do with West Ham assets? Areola, Bowen, you know, if you invest in the likes of Kudus, do you hold?
Again, I think I'd consider selling. I mean, in a couple of weeks' time, their fixtures turn nicer, but they've got Newcastle away, Tottenham home, which I suppose isn't too bad. But again, I think there's more points to be had elsewhere. So yeah, I'd be considering selling, I think. I mean, I think Palmer's one of the stand-up players to be targeting. If you don't have him. Chelsea got really nice fixtures and they've got two postponements, so we know they're going to have a couple of double game weeks later in the season. But yeah, Bowen blank. I had Kudus as well, and of course he got the silly yellow card, so I think I'd be looking to shift these guys on if I had them.
Yeah, I think it's the same. I think you wanted Bowen in for this run, didn't you? It was a good run you know, a few weeks ago. He obviously got the hat trick against Brentford. Didn't really do much in the next few games when we kind of needed him to. But in the end, yeah, I think the decisions, I think, has to be sell, because I think there's other good options with double game weeks are coming. You mentioned Chelsea. Yeah, I completely agree about Palmer. I think it's how do you maximise those doubles that are coming a bit later. I mean, I was looking at Petrovic, for example, on the World Cup. I noticed Sanchez started in the Cup.
Yeah.
So now it's kind of like, oh, do I really want to go there? I look at midfield, I look at Sterling. He's getting booed when he takes free kicks and missing penalties. I don't really know who I want to go for in the midfield. I think it's only really someone like Gusto in defence, or Jackson, potentially Jackson up top, another striker to add to the mix.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd have Jackson, but no, I agree, Gusto might be a step too far. Yeah. And of course, it all depends on when Reece James is back as well, because, you know, that could be a headache later in the season when these double game weeks do come around. But yeah, James is there with Gusto as well.
De Sassi, yeah. Maybe 4.9.
Yeah, maybe De Sassi, yeah. I mean, that's the problem with the keepers. When there's two options, sometimes all it can take is a couple of bad games in a row.
That's it.
And they're dropped.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not sure if I'd be having Petrovic on a wildcard either.
No.
The last thing I'll say on West Ham and keepers in general, by the way, is what a relief to see Areola lose the clean sheet as a free hitter. I mean, sorry if anyone's listening and had him, but obviously the free hitters largely didn't have him, so that was at least a saving grace as far as the free hit.
Well, I was annoyed because Martinez ended up with 5 points, and he was my non-free hit goalkeeper.
Oh, no.
So I know. So he ended up outscoring Flecken that I bought in. And also, Martinez has been horrible for me this season. I just haven't got that right at all. And I think I benched him for a big haul, and I played him over Kelleher the other week when Kelleher got a good return. So he's just been one of those transfers that just hasn't really worked out. But
I think you bought him when he had Sheffield United, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right.
But he didn't keep the clean sheet. Yeah,
no.
That's unlucky.
That sums it up. Yeah. Final game to discuss. Don't worry, we haven't forgotten about Luton and Forest. quite a lot of investment on, particularly on the free hit in these players. Obviously, lots of Morrises, lots of Doughties, and then I think most of us went with at least one of the Nottingham Forest players, whether that was Wood or Gibbs-White or Elanga. In the end, unless you went for Wood, I mean, Gibbs-White did all right as well, didn't he?
Yeah,
Wood or Gibbs-White kind of came through. Yeah, but everyone else, yeah, a bit disappointing.
But I mean, fair play if anyone went for Wood. I really wanted him, but my concern was Awoniyi. I just wasn't sure which striker would start. And I'd seen some Forest fans' confidence Awoniyi. Some had said it was Wood.
And he's now out for weeks. It would have been nice to have that information before the week, wouldn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. I wish we'd known before, because that would have made it a lot easier to pick him. But yeah, I went for Elanga.
Same.
And he had that assist, cleared off the line. Oh. Origi's shot, so close. It was really good. I think it was Berkey, but it was on the line and stopped it going over the line. So,
and then his own shot cleared off the line as well.
Yeah, unbelievable. But yeah, Wood got the three bonus. So well done anyone that picked up Wood. Yeah, difficult decisions with the strikers. So yeah, well done anyone that got him. Because of course, a lot of people had Morris instead.
Yeah.
With the home fixture and the penalties, of course, whereas Gibbs-White on pens for Forest. So yeah, well done anyone that went for Wood.
Morris, right. So before the double game week, Morris had 4 goals in 5 games and an assist. So 5 returns in 5. You know, huge investment in Morris going into the double game week, blanks, and then blanks in the blank game week as well. I mean, that's when we needed him to come in, and he didn't.
And I'd gone for Toffolo instead of Reguilon. So, you know, good in the sense that he outscored Reguilon by 4 points, but yeah, they conceded in the last minute of the game, and it was Berry, of all the players, 0.0% owned. Talking about players that no one has, 0.0% owned Berry gets the equaliser. Only 0.58 expected goals for Luton, which was the lowest of the entire game week. So I was devastated to lose that clean sheet. And I went for Toffolo partly because their underlying numbers have actually been solid defensively in recent weeks, but also to hedge against the double Brentford defence. So at least I dodged Reguilon. But yeah, that was frustrating. That almost came off that pick.
They're a funny team for us because their defensive data is actually really good. Markle, I'm talking about on Black Box just before this game week, and thinking actually they, you know, if you're probably looking at the stats, purely looking at data, which a lot of us do, they look good. But Mark says they just concede so many of the big chances. You know, they don't have many big chances against them, but when they have them, they seem to always concede. And the same with set pieces as well. They're actually, like, according to the stats, quite decent at not conceding too many chances from set pieces, but they've conceded the most set piece goals now in the league from them. So again, it's one of those ones where the stats and kind of what's happening on the pitch don't always marry up. And if you've got you know, players in your FPL team who are taking set pieces against Forest, you're very likely to get returns. I mean, Doughty, for example, that's why I went for Doughty on the free hit. He got an assist in the game. For a handball. You know, massive threat. You know, he's on corners, he's on free kicks, everything. Bit of an injury, but Edwards has said it's not going to be long term. What do you do with Doughty?
Yeah, I don't think it was a serious one. He was seen with like an ice bag on his leg before the game on an interview. Yeah, I think he'll be fine for after the break. But yeah, I mean, there's going to be lots of wild cards over the international break. So I think we're going to see a Luton wholesale. I don't see any reason to keep Luton assets. I think an easy sell. And as I said earlier, so many injuries. You know, Lockyer, Bell, Nicamba, Adebayo, Lokonga, Osho, Anderson. Doughty should be fine. But I feel for Luton, so many injuries. I mean, they're still in there. They could stay up, but it's going to be incredibly hard.
I mean, again, they've got a really, really tough run for the next... I mean, in the next 4 matches, they play Spurs away, Arsenal away, and Man City away. So
didn't realise it was that bad.
It is that bad. They got Bournemouth at home in 32. It was a big result for them. They couldn't lose that game against Forest. You know, there's Forest got 25 points, Luton got 22. It's going to be really, really tight between them. The good thing about Luton, though, is at least they've got those games out of the way. They've then got Brentford, Wolves, Everton, West Ham, Fulham to see out the season. And I can see them picking up some points. But I think, like you say, by then, we're not going to be owning any of their assets and we're not going to be buying them. So, yeah. Doughty's been a good servant to us this season, but I think his time's probably up.
Yeah, and I'd say, actually, they're probably a team to target with those fixtures and all the injuries they've got. And yeah, they've not fared well as far as expected goals conceded in recent weeks. They've conceded lots of goals. So yeah, I think Luton and Sheffield United are going to be two teams to target in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I agree. And with Forest, I mean, you know, if you didn't free hit and you were bringing in, you know, players like Elanga, like Gibbs White, it's Palace at home and it's Fulham at home, two decent fixtures. Would you be holding them?
No, I think, again, I'd probably be looking to shift them straight on. Fixtures wide, they do have two home games and then they've got Spurs, but they don't feel like a team that can blow opponents away, and there's, you know, lots of points to be had with Forest. So, yeah, I think the players that we've picked up for the blank are players that we're going to mostly want to shift straight on. Mm. As we said earlier, Spurs are going to be easy holds with Luton next. But, yeah, there's some tougher fixtures to come for other teams like Luton, West Ham, Brentford as well. So I think we're going to see a big shake-up moving forward to teams, which is good, by the way. We've got people going in different directions with their teams, different tryouts of plans, chip strategy. And, yeah, we've got, as we said, the double in 34 to come as well. And should we briefly touch on the FA Cup? Of course, there was lots of blanks because of the FA Cup. So we can, you know, touch on that and potential ramifications in FPL. Chelsea beat Leicester. Man United beat Liverpool. Coventry beat Wolves. City beat Newcastle. So as far as the doubles, I mean, we could have the likes of Arsenal, Bournemouth, Palace and Wolves could double in Gameweek 34. And we probably get an announcement over this international break. So we know exactly what's going to come there. But something to keep in mind, and obviously avoid early transfers, especially during an international break. Yeah, we can come back from the break and start strategizing towards that.
Yeah, I know. This is kind of the another key period of the season going forward, especially when people have got, you know, people might have their free hits left. People have got bench boosts to play. Might be some triple captains still left. Obviously, wild cards. If you haven't got the wild card, you need to be targeting players who have the doubles probably quite early on. I think luckily that falls to Arsenal and Liverpool. We've probably got that double in 34, who we're going to want to be investing in anyway. But if you've got your Palace and Wolves players, you might want to keep them for a little bit longer. Incredible results in the FA Cup. I mean, that Manchester United game last night.
Yeah, wow.
You talk about drama.
121st I mean, minute.
Absolutely, absolutely incredible. But yeah, as you say, when you're looking at your transfers, make sure you're targeting teams with doubles coming up, because you don't want to be caught out when a, you know, I think particularly with Chelsea, because we're not too sure when that kind of second game is going to be in. We know there's going to be one in 37, but we're not too sure when the other double game is going to come in. I think they're a good team to target. But like I said, it's just knowing which one to get. So maybe you give it a few weeks just to see you know, who's emerging, but then you move for one around that time.
And obviously the next round of the FA Cup clashes with Game Week 34. So that's basically what has the effect in terms of what teams can double there. So, you know, the likes of Brighton, Chelsea, City, United, Newcastle, you know, they're either through to the next round or the opponent they would have had are, which means they could only have a single game week there. But of course, Liverpool have been knocked out. So if we get a double game week 34 for Liverpool, that's huge, you know. I've only got Van Dijk at the moment, looking to add Liverpool. But
Van Dijk, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, I had him a few weeks back. One. Yeah, obviously that double game week. He did well, to be fair. He scored in that double game week. Not a bad pick. And I've still got him, and I might have to keep him at this rate.
Yeah, I think I'd be looking to go for three. I think I'd be looking for... Trouble with Van Dijk is just price. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to go there. I was looking at maybe Konate, but then Quants has come in and been playing well. You've got Gomez, quite a lot of a risk around that. So I think if you are going for the defence, you probably do go for Van Dijk. Unless we get some news that Trent's out for a little bit longer, and then Bradley maybe comes in into the thinking at 4 million. But yeah, definitely Salah. I mean, Salah really, we touched on him a few times this pod, but he really is the one that I think we need to be having plans to move towards.
I agree.
For the next two. I mean, if it's you know, Brighton and then Sheffield United and then a double in 34, you need Salah in your team for that.
Yeah, I'm definitely buying him Game Week 31 at the latest to a Sheffield United home. But what I will say is a saving grace for those of us that did use the free hit in 29 is the potential doubles that we get in Game Week 34 are now quite favourable for those of us that used the free hit this week. You know, if Bournemouth get the double in 34, a lot of us have got double or triple already. You know, lots of us used the free hit because we have double or triple Arsenal. They could double in 34. So, that's... I'm trying to be optimistic about how dreadful Game Week 29 was. Yeah, exactly. So, lots of exciting times to come ahead for the rest of the season anyway. We'll now have a two-week break from FPL while the final international fixtures ahead of Euro 2024 played out. Kelly, Jules and Sam will be back on Thursday with the FPL pod. They'll be talking wildcards and how to plan for the final nine game weeks of the season.
If you haven't done so already, join the FPL pod league. The code is IB3WLK.
Thanks for listening. See you next time, everyone.
See ya.